part that moves. Does not, for the most part, lend itself. Certain segments of the Gemara do not really lend themselves to too much outside discussion. So we're going to cover ground inside the Gemara, which is something that we don't typically do. We are now, and again, it's been a couple weeks since we actually opened the Gemara, but we left off on Chatzar Samar Aleph, six lines from the bottom of the page, Rav Elazar Omer. And I'm just going to just give a brief summary of the last piece of Gemara that we saw, because we are in the middle of a sugya. There was a braisa that was introduced to us in the bottom of the previous daf, Chachar Samar Beis. And the braisa over there reads, Nizra Kado Velo Silko, that if a person has a pitcher that breaks in the Rishus Rabim, and he does not remove it, or Nafa Gemalo, his camel falls, Velo Hamida, when he doesn't pick it up, so then there's a machokas between the Remei and the Chachamim as to whether or not damages which were caused by the cod falling, or the camel falling, he's liable for now. So Remei says he's chayiv, behezekan, and the Chachamim say pater. Midini Adam, however, chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Now you recall that the next piece of the Gemara was essentially the opinion of Abaye, who basically explained that this Braisa and, as he explained, our Mishnah as well, actually addressing two separate points. And in fact, Abaye says, Tarti Bepligi, there really are two separate machlokeses which are going on over here. Machlokes number one is Bishas Nefila, and machlokes number two is La'achar Nefila. B'shas Nefila means that at the time that a person breaks, the cod is falling, or the gamel falls, so damages which occurred through the cod, because the camel falling, so the Gemara had to come up with an interesting way to explain that. But if I'm walking down the street, and I drop my cod because I trip, so Rav Meir is of the opinion that nizkal poshea, if a person trips, so then that's considered, halachically that's considered negligence on his part, and therefore he's obligated to pay. The Chachamim disagreed that if a person trips, that's not considered a pshia. And then the Gemara says they argue la'acha nefila as well, meaning that if he leaves it there and he doesn't pick it up, so then you have a machlokas again between the Remei and the Chachamim, what the din would be in that particular case. So this was all the explanation of Abaye. We're going to see tonight are two other opinions which appear initially to be in conflict with Abaye, but both of them turn out that neither of them are really arguing on Abaye per se. The first one is found five lines from the bottom of the page where we're at right now in Chav Tesim et Aleph, and that is where it says Rebbe Lazar Amar. Rebbe Lazar says B'shas Nefila Machlokes. He says that the Machlokes is B'shas Nefila. The whole Machlokes between Remei and the Chachamim is at the time that it is falling. So right then and there, we know already that when you read something like that, so the Gemara intuitively senses that there's another area where there is no machlokes, right? B'shas nefila machlokes, it sounds like they're not arguing somewhere else. So the Gemara says, "V'la'ach nefila mai, divrei achol pater." What are you going to say? That la'ach nefila, there is no machlokes, meaning everybody's going to agree that he doesn't pay? That can't be. V'la'ik Rebbe Meir, the machayev. You have Rebbe Meir that says over here, "Befavors in the bright of the yachayev." So what's the alternative? The alternative is, "Alamai divrei achol chayev." You're going to tell me that there's no machlokes, that both the Meir and the Chachamim say that you're liable to pay for damages that occurred la'achar nefila, meaning that you didn't pick up the mess. V'yikra Rabbanan the Patri, that's not true, because we have explicitly the opinion of the Rabbanan that say that he's exempt. So what is it that Rabbi Lezer means to say when he says b'shas nefila machlokes? Elo, the Gemara explains, my b'shas nefila. B'shas nefila doesn't mean only, but it means af b'shas nefila. Even at the time of nefila, the Kamash Malon, Kedabai. And what he's really coming to do is teach you, essentially as Abaye taught, namely, Betarti Pligi, they're arguing about both B'shas Nefila and La'ach Nefila. Rashi explains that this is something which is not self-evident from the Brice itself, from the wording of the Brice. So Rebbe Lazar comes along to clarify that the Machlokis is not only La'ach Nefila, but even B'shas Nefila is arguing about the question of Nizka Poshaya, Nizka La'ach Poshaya. So again, it's a technical point. Nothing significant comes from these last five lines above and beyond that which we already saw in the Shita of Abaye, because Gemara actually concludes at the end that really Rebbe Lazar is just coming to teach like Abaye himself taught. Now we're going to see the third opinion, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, which also once again is going to start off leaving us with the impression as if Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Abaye. We're going to see in the end here as well, there's not necessarily a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, La'achan afila machlokes. Again, so what was it that Rabbi said? Excuse me, Rabbi Lazar, he said, B'shtachan afila machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, La'achan afila machlokes. That the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is La'achan afila, meaning what? Damages that occurred as a result of him not picking up the mess either from the camel or the cheres. I'm sorry? Yeah? Right, so Rashi, the bottom Rashi on the page says, Mishum, the Lishna of the Braisa, Lom Nishtama B'Shas Nefila. Since the Lishna of the Braisa doesn't apply clearly, explicitly, B'Shas Nefila, because what does the Braisa say? If you look again at the bottom of Chafesim Adbeis, Nisbarakada Velo Silko, Nafagamala Velo Hamido. So the Braisa explicitly only addresses Lach Nefila. So you would therefore be led to believe that perhaps there really is no discussion in the Brice at all of B'Shas Nefila. So therefore, Rashi continues, so Itztich Rebbe Lazar Lashminan, Rebbe Lazar comes to teach us the Daikina Laminas Nisin, that we could learn from our Mishnah, the Katani, where it says explicitly, Tarti both cases, Kadamar Ba'ili, just as the Ba'i said previously. So Rebbe Lazar is just coming to teach that just as in the Mishnah you have clearly Machlokesh B'Shas Nefila, Ach Nefila, so too in the Brice as well, because again, the Brice is written in more of a vague fashion that one could be led to believe that the Braisa is not even talking about the situation of Shas Nefila, it's only talking about Lach Nefila. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he says really that which appears to be almost the reverse perspective. He says, La'ach Nefila Machlokes. The whole Machlokes is La'ach Nefila. So here as well, we are bothered, but what does he mean to say? Aval B'Shas Nefila Mai. What does he mean to say is going to be the din at the time that the person falls? Divrei HaKol Pater. Are you going to tell me that both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim say that he's Pater? That can't be. Why is that not so? Mitakama Rabbi Yochanan Lekaman, Rabbi Yochanan himself, we ask Rabbi Yochanan on himself, Rabbi Yochanan himself says later on, Lo Tema Masnisin Rabbi Meir Hi, the Amir Nisqa Posheyahu. Don't tell us that their Mishnah is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Meir who says Nisqa Posheyahu. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan himself, Michlal, the Rabbi Meir Machayev. The Rabbi Yochanan himself accepts the premise that Rabbi Meir holds, Niskal Poshea, meaning if you trip, you're chayiv to pay. So the Gemara says it can't be that Rabbi Yochanan means to say Divrei HaKol Pater. So what's the alternative? Elamai Divrei HaKol Chayiv. You're going to tell me Rabbi Yochanan means to say that B'Shas Nefila, everybody's going to say you're chayiv. That's not so either. Because again, what is it that Rabbi Yochanan says? And the Gemara now just repeats the previous lines. Well, I mean, to come to Rabbi Yochanan, come on, Lotema Masnisin Rabbi Meir he, Dami Niskal Poshea hu. Michal, this implies the Pachi Rabbanan, that it's only Rabbi Meir who holds this, has this opinion. So again, the Gemara is struggling to understand what Rabbi Yochanan means to teach us. Rabbi Yochanan says, La'ach Nefila Machlokes. The whole Machlokes is La'ach Nefila. So it sounds like he's saying, there is no Machlokes B'Shas Nefila, but we know that's not so. Rabbi Yochanan himself clearly says that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, this Kas Pashay, that if you trip, you're considered negligent. The Rabbanan say, Niska Lav Pashay, that if you trip, you're not held responsible. So the clearly is a machlokes B'Shas Nefila as well. So now the Gemara concludes with a very interesting explanation of Yochanan, and I believe this is the accepted halacha as well. Elohaka Mashmalan. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching the following. The Makir Nizakav the Hacha who the Pachi Rabbanan, the Anasu, of a Makir Nizakav the Alma Machayve. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us a very interesting chiddush. And that is that although it's true that we see over here that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir argue as to what is the din regarding the stuff that's left behind. Meaning what? What's the case we had over here? A person's walking down the street, he has a pot in his hand, and he trips. And now the pot breaks on the floor, and there's a huge mess. So we saw Rabbi Meir says, what's the din if you don't pick it up? What does Rabbi Meir say? Yechayiv. The Rabbanan say Yepadah. Says Rabbi Yochanan HaKiddush. The Rabbanan are not always going to say you're putzer for not cleaning up your mess. Only in this case. What's unique about this case? It was an onus. What was the onus? The fact that you tripped. In other words, the real onus is very interesting. That if you're walking down the street and you trip and the barrel breaks all over the floor, you didn't intend for that to happen. Now that it's there, you decide to forget it. I'm not interested. I'm going to leave it. So there's the machlokes of the Rabbanan Rebbe Meir. Meir says, you have to pick up your mess, it's your fault, or it's your responsibility to pick it up. And the Rabbanan say, no, in this case you are pater. So says Rabbi Meir, excuse me, says Rabbi Yochanan, that even the Rabbanan are going to agree, they're going to admit that in a situation where what? You take a barrel and you throw it, bemaze it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then walk away, that you're going to be chayiv in that case, because the circumstances by which it landed on the ground was not ba'ones. Says Rashi, and then if you have a question, I'll take it, because Rashi explains this perhaps clearer than I just did. Second line on the page, Elohok HaMashmal and Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching. The Nafkin Yizak of the Hacha, the Tchilaso Ones, where the whole situation came about through an Ones, who the Pachi Rabbanan? That's where the Rabbanan say you are going to be exempt from having to pay for any damages which happen subsequent to the barrel falling. Aval Mafkin Yizak of the Alma, but in general, a situation where a person is mafkir his nizaka, which means kigon sheshlichu midas, he throws it on the ground intentionally, or perhaps the classical example, bar b'shus harabim. There's no greater mafkir nizaka than bar b'shus harabim. What does that mean? I'm in the street, I dig a hole, and I walk away. That's a classic case of mafkir nizaka. In that case, you're going to be chayiv. So how do we see this in the words of Rabbi Yochanan? Rashi explains, Rabbi Yochanan hachikama, this is what he's saying. La'acha nefila machlokes, those were his only three words. Achav in machlokes klomar, hay machlokes the pligi Rav Meir Rabbanan behifkir Yizakov lachan afila. The whole machlokes the Rav Meir the Rabbanan have regarding one who is mafkir his nezek after it falls, who said chilas vayidei nafila. That's only in a case where it happened through an ones such as this. Avala yidei haslacha, but in a situation you throw it lo pligi, there is no machlokes velo teidok, and so therefore you should not be in the dike the way we did mistakenly. From Rabbi Yochanan, the Bishas plead Nafila lo plead. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean to say that they're not arguing Bishas Nafila. They do argue Bishas Nafila. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching that the whole Machlokes, La'acha Nafila, is only in a situation like this where it happens accidentally. But in a situation where you bemaze it, throw the Kalim on the ground and walk away, so then even the Rabbanan, with a more lenient opinion, they're going to conclude in that case you would be Chayav to pay. That's how the Gemara explains this very ambiguous line of Rabbi Yochanan, la'acha nefila machlokes. La'acha nefila machlokes only in a situation like this where it happened ba'onis. But if it happens b'nezid, meaning that you intended it, you intended to throw it on the ground and leave it there, or you dug a hole in the street, so then a mafkir nizak of that kind, you're going to be chayiv.
No.
Here.
No, how can we have it?
No, because no, there is not only is not the Pharisee, it's actually a sheet and the Tanoim. This is not the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, but there is an opinion that says the bor shechayv of Torah, the bor that you have to pay is one that you intend to own. In other words, that you claim some ownership, some connection to that bor. But if you would declare it ownerless, you have no access to it all. So then there's an opinion that says no. We're going to discuss that a little more tonight. But there is such an opinion, so it's not mochach, even though that's not the halacha. We generally say that the one who creates the takala is the balabor, even if he has no intention of being of claiming ownership.
Yeah. In this case over here that you're talking about, the way Rabbi Yochanan sets it up according to Rabbanan, I'm not sure I understand how you can even support a position because it starts off in ones. I mean, you say
right. It's an interesting opinion. I agree. In other words, so what did it happen by onus?
Yeah, in other words, once it happened by onus, then
right.
You own it.
Right.
And then you make a choice.
Right.
So that's a little strange to me.
Right.
But I'm just curious about what you just said now in terms of the bar part. Does he actually have to verbalize that he walks away from this? Or you just say the fact that he walks away from it to make it...
I'm not sure. We had a similar discussion some time ago about this. Somebody was trying to bring rise from that, you know, how you have to be mafki or something in a very formal way. Why? Because you think it's after the fact the guy will always say it was mafki? How do we ever know what's going on?
I want to know
when he clearly obviously has intent to claim ownership of the, like we said, either the pieces of cheres or the water we discussed previously, he intends to come back. Later we're going to discuss the situation of one who finds dung in the street and he considers picking it up and using it. So in these situations where there's an indication that he intends to, you know, retain ownership, so I suppose perhaps that he would have to say it explicitly, as opposed to a situation where a guy just walks away, you know, throws his hands up and doesn't turn around. Maybe it should just move on.
And who do we pass him by over here?
Regarding which question?
Regarding the onus and half
Right. It's stranger.
That's right.
So first of all, I want to say I'm not 100% who we passed like, but I want to say something, and that is that we did tonight. Maybe you hadn't thought about it much before. Maybe you just didn't ask. But all we did tonight was make the Shitas Rabbanan less strange than they were before tonight. Before tonight, the Rabbanan just made a general rule, Achan Afila Pata, which means last week when we learned the sugya, we were left with the opinion the Rabbanan always said, La'achan Afila, and once it's there, you just walk away fine, even in the situation where they were. You were Mashlech HaBemezid. So all we see tonight is Rabbi Yochanan says, no. In a situation with HaBemezid, no. Rabbanan, who are lenient, only lenient in a case where it came bonus. But it doesn't necessarily satisfy you, but I want to remind you that the Rabbi Yochanan is actually presenting the more reasonable of the two alternatives. Okay, good. That's a good tarot. No, but I'm not sure. There are two ways to. And, I'm just looking at it now. The mafkin is up of the hachu, the patri rabbanon. But still, the patri rabbanon or mayor in this case. I know. I always come back here, and then I remember that staff is the rabbanon. Not back here. So I don't know. Next week we know that we'll be prepared with the halach. You may. I don't know. I forget how the art school works. Is art school? Yeah. You want it? I don't know. Okay. Does art school print the halacha? No. No, they don't do that? There are some art schools here.
I know.
I smell them. I do this with my students. I always see, I see the little red string hanging out of the bag. So I walk into them like this. How does he do that? So I'm like, it's coming from there. But Nizki Maman, yeah. Okay. Well, Rabbi Yochanan actually doesn't use the expression of feeling. He says ba'ones, and as when the act, when it happened, whatever happened, when the that which fell on the ground, when it fell ba'ones, so that's what we mean when we say nefila. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't use the expression of feeling. He uses the expression ba'ones. So when did Rabbanan say you patel achan nefila? That's when it happened ba'ones. And the feeling is lav dafkin feeling, but in other words, if something's on the ground and it happened ba'ones, it probably fell. I mean, it's hard to. Either I fell or fell out of my hand. Right. Okay. Right. So the truth is, the situation, the cases which are found in the Brice over here clearly were nishbar akadon nafal gemala. So it sounds like it happened in the form of a nefila, like there was some onus which occurred. Which again, as Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it's only here that they're going to argue. But in a situation where he was zorikid, so then the din would be different. Okay. So we need Nizki Mamon, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Zayin. Okay, so what does Rama say? Nizbur Akado Rishus Harabim, Vuchlak Echa B'mayim, O Shalaka B'chashteha, Potter, Medina Yadam, Lefisha Anasim. So far, we haven't discussed Achan Afila. Just I'm walking down the street, the car breaks, and someone else immediately falls or gets hurt, I'm Potter Medina Yadam because I'm an Anas. So you chay b'dinei shemayim because I could have removed it and I didn't. So the answer is we paskin like the rabbanon. You chay of only b'dinei shemayim, not b'dinei adam. V'arei acharasim b'amayim kehefker, v'lo hiskir ela achar shenenes, v'lefichach pater. In other words, v'in niskavein v'zakos b'chaseh. However, my intention is to actually acquire these. And then someone else get hurt, then I am chayiv. The same thing. If the camel falls, the din is the same. Fine. So the answer is we do paskim like the Rabbanan, according to the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, meaning that it's only when it came about ba'ones. Lefichach, right? That's what the Rambam says. Since it came about ba'ones, lefichach pater. So that is how we paskim. No, I took that back. That's what it sounded like it was saying. I took it back. Right? Because Nishra Kadib Rishus Rav Huchwa Kechav Amayim Osha Laka Bachasa Pagmi Yadam Fisha Anasu Bachai Bidin Shemayim Ibn Shelo Sile, because it's important that he could have. This we're talking Lachan Afila. So that's how we paskin. Again, the fact that Yechai Bidin Shemayim validates the discomfort that you have. I mean that seriously, not to you're not always chayv din shemayim. Chayv din shemayim means that, come on, you know, there may be a moral obligation over here, but in terms of calling you, so to speak, the balavor, so since it landed on the floor ba'ones and you were immediately you were mafker it after the onus occurred, so then according to the Rabbanon, there's no way to give him a chayv even in Adam. So is there more to talk about? Perhaps. I mean, maybe that'll be for the end of the study. We'll take a look at Shulchan Aruch, we'll look at the Kalim, I don't know, but that's another round of time.
Since that's it, if you took somebody to a place and it actually happened today, and they didn't vote for the guy, you know, who left it lying there, right? So even in that case, you're not allowed to take him to court.
Right, you can't sue a guy, right?
Let's say the law in civil law was that you're liable to leave it lying no matter what the reason.
Can you go to a civil court to claim something that which you cannot receive in a in a?
Is that in any case, you know,
I don't know. It's a complicated question. I don't know. I mean, I know there are times you can go to a civil court, but you know, I'm not sure. I'll tell you, I had a question last week actually regarding someone who has a dispute with someone, where the person he now had the person who's the purveyor who feels that this other individual owes him money happens to have property of his in his possession, and he is being toe-faced and claiming. Wants to know, could he claim, you know, that he's going to hold on to this because until he gets his money? And what makes the shayla even more interesting, even though they have not gone to a din Torah, I don't know if they will, so it's premature to say for sure what the din would be, but it seemed, because I discussed this with two dayanim, and it seemed that there may be a chiyuv of midin hashamayim over here. So that's an interesting question, which I think we may have discussed in the past, whether tfisa works by a chiyuv midin hashamayim. Because Bezin can't force him to pay, but if you toe-face something, and over here the tfisa was done legitimately, he didn't steal something. He had property previously, he owed the guy money. So now the question is, can he hold it in order to claim that which is really coming to him in the Ishmael? So that's nothing to do with the sugya, but no, these obviously real life cases. Okay, so let's go on. The next piece of the Gemara relates to this last piece that we said doesn't really add anything new, but the Gemara now relates the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan directly into another Machlokes Amoraim we have, Itmar. We have a Machlokes Amoraim regarding Mafkin Nizakov. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue about the din regarding a person who, again, declares something which was something which is hazardous in the street, onus. Chadam Rechayiv, Chadam Rechayiv. We don't yet know which said which. Right? Rabbi Yochanan didn't state his personal view in the previous Gemara. All he did was clarify the Shitas Rabbanan. Now we find that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar regarding one who is mafkir nezakim in the street. One says chayv, one says pater. We're not sure which one says which. Lema says the Gemara. It sounds like man de chayv k'Rabbi Meir, man de pater k'Rabbanan. Seems like what's going on over here is nothing new. It's just the same old machlokes Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir regarding a mafkir nezakim. So the Gemara says not necessarily. You could say that aliba de Rabbi Meir kuli yom alo peligi. Regarding Rabbi Meir, nobody argues. Everybody knows that Rabbi Meir holds that in every situation, if you're mafkin nizakov, you're going to be chayv. He pleaded the machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, is aliba de Rabbanan. They're arguing about what exactly did the Rabbanan say. Man de patar, the one who says the din is your patar, so that's exactly what the Rabbanan say. No problem, the Rabbanan say your patar. But man de bachayev, the one who says your chayev, he'll say, amaloch, ana da amri, afilu the Rabbanan. I hold even like the Rabbanan, but I can't look at the Rabbanan let the Mafkin Nizakov to Hacha. But even the Rabbanan, until now, have only exempted him in a situation like this, Mishum Da'onesu, right? Where the event occurred in a situation where there was an Ones, and that's what caused the mess on the floor. Of a Mafkin Nizakov, the Alma, but in general, a situation where a person is Mafkin is Nizakim, so then you'd be Chayiv. So again, the Gemara just is pointing out that when we find that the Amoraim argue about the situation of Mafkin Nizakov, it's not necessarily the same machlokes as Reb Meir the Rabbanan. It could be that there's a further machlokes within the Rabbanan do we in fact hold that the Rabbanan are limited only to a situation where the Nefila came by Ones? Or perhaps there's another view that says, no, the Rabbanan always say that even if you throw something that made it on the ground, you're going to be putter. So we saw already that that's not the halacha, but perhaps the Gemara says it could be that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing exactly on that point.
Why didn't it say that Rabbi Yochanan must be the one that's holding that, according to Rabbanan, it's honest and,
they would permit it? Why not say that's his view?
Yeah. Why didn't the Hadamah Hadamah?
No, because Rabbi Yochanan previously didn't say that this is my personal view. Oh, I see. In other words, you're saying, well, if this is how he understands the Rabbanan, is that what you're saying? So then, that, of course, that is his personal view?
No, I mean, they have personal views. I mean, how can they have personal views against... they have to hold the views of Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan from there. They want to have personal views that 100%...
No, but in this case, whatever you say, you're okay, if you have Rabbanan and Rabbanan. So the Gemara originally thought, perhaps if Yochanan and Elazar just taking sides in the Machlokes Tanaim, can they do that? That they can do. No, not necessarily though, because it could be the Rabbi Yochanan himself holds like Rabbi Meir. Could be holds like Rabbi Meir. He's just saying. Previously, he explains what does it mean when Rabbi Yochanan says Achne Fil Machlokes. He says the Rabbanan will only say it in this particular case. The Gemara actually goes on to try to prove that it's Rabbi. What is the Gemara's next line? It's time to rely on the Chayim. Right, so the Gemara actually tries to do that, but in a different way. Right. So I don't think you have to say that Rabbi Yochanan necessarily holds like the Rabbanan. It's just that, that was his understanding of the Shidur's Rabbanan in the previous Gemara, and now we see that he has his own personal view on this matter. I'm not sure. Right, but not necessarily that he thought was halacha. Now, when the Gemara says itmar, nafkin izakav, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, chad says chayim, chad says pater, so we see clearly these two Amoraim argued about this question. So it could be.
And if you explain the Gemara according to Rabbi
Yochanan,
that's
the Rabbi Yochanan. In the
Brayt,
right.
Right,
so maybe he holds chayv like Rabbi Meir.
Here, according to this explanation, he's taking a view.
So he's explaining. His Gemara says it very often, right? This is I'm explaining you l'shitaska, but he doesn't hold that way. Right. He's just explaining what the Rabbanim say.
This way of interpreting.
Right. So why does that mean he has to necessarily follow that opinion? Why? Why is that so? I mean, we do that all the time here, don't we? Analyze opinions that we don't necessarily follow the halacha.
That's his opinion of what that chachamim holds.
Yeah. So why does that mean that that's his?
That's his opinion of what that chachamim holds.
Right. Okay.
And
then you have another question: how does Rabbi Yochanan feel in terms of the halacha? What is the din in this case?
That's why he's got a hold of Rabbi Meir and
he's got a hold of
that
chukon. Right.
Okay? So
here
he interprets according to this,
and
he's
trying to
the
second.
Get it?
Didn't we have this machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar? First, the Gemara said, there's a disagreement regarding Rabbi Meir's position, right? On that. But then the second one, they're saying they're disagreeing regarding the chukon. Yeah.
Right.
So then, now we're
talking about I understand, but the Gemara didn't absolutely reject the first possibility. The Gemara says, they could say that Adla Kama. The Gemara didn't say that we know for
sure.
Right, correct. Okay, according to the second interpretation, then that's what we're looking
at.
Good. Right. Okay, good. Fine, I agree with that. So now the Gemara says, "Tistayim the Rabbi Elazar Huda Machayev." Rather than proving that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says the Pater, we could prove that Rabbi Elazar is the one who says Yechayev. Why? The Amar Rabbi Elazar, a fascinating din. This may sound familiar to some of you, even if you haven't learned the Kama before. Because if you learn the beginning of Masachus Tzachim, there's very strange, this very same line is there, and it's, I didn't mean to say strange, but it's the type of thing that you may remember. It's a fascinating sort of statement. Amar Rav Elazar Mishum Rav Yishmael. Rav Elazar said in the name of Yishmael the following: Shnei Devarim Einan Vershusa Shel Adam. There are two things which really technically, as we're going to explain in a moment, are not in a person's possession. But nevertheless, the Torah creates it as if it is in your possession. That's technically, halachically, it should be like you don't own it, but the Torah makes it like you're the owner. The Evil Hain, what are these two things? Bar Vershusa Rabim. The Chameitz Vishesh Sha'osu Lamala. The first is Bar Vershusa Rabim, the case that we've been discussing. You dig a hole in the street and you walk away. It really shouldn't be yours. Why shouldn't it be yours? What? It's a Rishon Zav. It's not my, and if you take a look at the sheet I gave you, Rashi over here doesn't say anything on this, but Rashi in Psachim explains Bar Vershusa Rabim very clearly. Bar Vershusa Rabim says, Rashi, Haposcho, the person who opens a hole in the street, Chayiv in Nizak, he's going to be Chayiv for damages. Vein HaBor Shelo. The bor is not his, Elo Shel Hefker. Sharei Vershusa Rabim, he dug it in the street. Va'afa Pisha Kuro, even though he dug the hole, he still doesn't have right to claim ownership over this. So really, it shouldn't really be his. But yet the Torah makes it like it's his. What does that mean? So that's the first Rashi over there. The fact that the Torah holds me responsible makes me like the owner. And the second example that he gives is Chameitz after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach. And obviously it doesn't mean to say only Erev Pesach but throughout. What does that mean? So here, Rashi does say something about this point over here. It says Rashi Mishesh Shel Salamala Ein Chametz Bershusa. From the sixth hour and on, and Erev Pesach, the chametz is not his. And here, either it says Afagav, or there's a different gear. So the Chol Heicha the Isay, wherever it is, Aser Bahana, it is going to be forbidden for any benefit. The din is that chametz is Aser Bahana on Pesach. Vaso Akasav Ki'ilu Hu Bershusa, but yet the Torah makes it like it's mine. Lavor Lava by Rabbi Yimatze. Meaning what? Generally speaking, when something is Asa Bahana, so it's not yours. You can't own something halakhically that is Asa Bahana. It's a strange idea. But if you try to claim ownership over something which is forbidden for benefit, so halakhically you don't own it. You can only own something which you are permitted to benefit from. Something which halakhically you may not benefit from, you don't own it. So if you don't own it, so it should come out that you can never violate the prohibition of owning Chametz on Pesach. The Torah says you can't own Chametz on Pesach. The Torah also says you can't derive benefit. Well, that means that any chametz that would have otherwise been in my ownership is now ownerless. So, you can't violate the Yisrael by Rabbi Yimatz, but yet we know the Torah says you can't own it. So, Rabbi Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, oh, this is one of the things that even though it's not really in your Rishus, the Torah makes it as if it's in your Rishus in order to now obligate you to do something about it, to mevatel it, to get rid of it. But you now have a responsibility to rid yourself, so to speak, of those chametz, even though, based on the laws of Kinyanim, it shouldn't really be yours. So he says, Barbish is a rabbin, and Chametz on Erev Pesach, Mishesh Shotomah, are two things that are not yours, but the Torah makes it as if it's yours. So what do we see from here? Before we just talk more about this din, we see from here that it must be Rebbe Lozer is the one who says what? Yechai, why? Oh, so Rashi helps us over there. We see from Rebbe Elazar over here clearly that when does the Torah say you're obligated for the nezek which came through the bor? Dafka versus the rabbi. So you see that it's Rebbe Elazar who says that a maskin is zakim is zichayiv. So therefore we can infer that it must be Rabbi Yochanan who says you're pater like the rabbanan. Okay. So now. So you're saying it's not his particular view. I'm Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Well, what is, so you think he's just quoting Rabbi Shmuel? It's not his view. Okay. Okay. Apparently, it's not the way it works. Right. Right. A couple of weeks ago, months ago, it was about a month ago or so, one of my students asked me, I may have actually discussed it here. If not, I don't know why it says Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Did we discuss that here or no? It was a very sharp question from an eighth grade that I've never thought of before. Why did it say Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? That seems to be an inconsistency with the language. The person says Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan but yet Rabbi Yochanan was called Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So it sounds like a silly question, but then again, maybe he was onto something. So then it just coincidentally occurred that somebody else, I don't remember who, that's why I'm confused where this, but someone else was a mechanic, said that his student asked him a very similar question, and the student suggested the teretz, I'm sure he's right, but he found another case like this. I don't remember the other one. So I think, what did he say? He suggested that it was Rav Shmuel Beno Shel Rav Yochanan, since Rav Yochanan himself was, I think, was a Rav himself. So it was Rav Shmuel Beno Shel Rav Yochanan. But since Broka was probably maybe not a rabbi, or not one to consider one of the sages, so it was Rav Yochanan and Broka. I don't know. Could be. I think he had a, it was clear from the other keys, the example he gave. So I guess the point that I mean to make is that some of these points that sometimes seem insignificant and arbitrary in terms of the way Dinam are quoted, probably nothing should be dismissed over here as being. So I don't know necessarily if there's a rule when it comes to something where Rabbi Elazar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. I don't know if there's a general rule, but the Gemara clearly assumes over here that this is not merely quoting Rabbi Shmuel, but rather reflects his personal view as well. So I'd like you now to take a look at the sheet that I gave out, and we'll take a look at a couple of interesting points regarding this fascinating statement that there are two things that are not really yours, but the Torah makes them as if they are yours. So let's just talk about this outside for a minute, because again, rather than rush into it, what does this mean that the Torah is not really yours, but the Torah makes it as if it's yours? Where does the Torah make it as if it's mine? Where does that happen? I'm sorry?
When you trip,
you're responsible. I'm a chray, so therefore, what does Rabbi Shmuel mean when he says the Torah makes it as if it's yours? He means you're chayv to pay, which is like Rashi says, l'schayv aleihem. So let me ask you, what would be the din regarding Eish, let's say? Let's say, if I light a fire, and it's not my fire, right? If I take your fire, let's say, and I throw it over there and it burns down the house. So what's the din? We've already learned the din. What's the din? I'm chayv. So why does Rabbi Shmuel say there are only two things that are not really yours, but the Torah makes it as if it's yours? Eish also. It's not mine, but the Torah makes it as if I'm mine. It's mine because why? Chayv to pay. So why only say boy? Why not say Eish? Or maybe some say even the Gemara discusses that. I think we saw even the Gemara that comes later on Daf Mem Ches, but we saw we quoted earlier. If I take your animal and the Rishus Rav, and I take his head and I stick it in somebody else's bag and he starts eating his food, right? Mamid behemes chavero. In that case, I'm also am chayev. It's not mine. I'm chayev because I stuck the food in his mouth. So what is the Rishmol saying over there? Only two things that not yours, but Torah makes it as if it's yours. Is bor. Why is bor more paradigmatic than Eish?
No, because Eish, the regular, who says the case of Eish, that you take somebody else's fire, the way Eish works, you write.
Right, so you think bor is never yours.
Right.
Bor is never yours. But, right, the classic case of bor is. Right, okay. So you're saying it's lav davka. It doesn't mean only bor, but, okay. That's certainly a possibility. So the you want to go back to Isha Mishim Chitav? I'm happy to do it. We don't have to spend about 6 months on it. I missed that sugya, man. Right. Right. I'm responsible, even though it wasn't my fire. So there are. This question is addressed in different areas and different ways, and it's expressed in different ways. Found over here a very clear formulation in Taras Chaim where he writes, "Bor b'shus rabim chamitz mishesh olchem l'malo. Bor b'shus rabim avagav delav dilehu aso akasav ki'ilu hu shalo d'chsiv bal habor yishalein." In other words, the ikar is not necessarily the way we read Rashi that you chayev to pay. What Rabbi Shmuel means to say is the fact that the Torah calls you the Balabor. That's the lashon of the Torah. Karo akasav Balabor. Chomitz Mishesh Mahu, you explain. Hefker who came Shos Bana. Nevertheless, the Torah makes it as if it's yours, because it says, Lo Yireh L'cha Chomitz, Lo Yireh L'cha Sa'or, V'amu B'rakam, the Gemara explains, Shecha Yatarov, V'atarov, Shechem, you're allowed to see other people's. So Alma got the Hefker who, even though it's Hefker, nevertheless, Shecha Karelev, call yours. So the Torah explains that the significance of a very small statement is not that you're chayiv per se, but it's the fact that the Torah calls you the Baal Habor. So perhaps with this we could understand another question that's raised. The Shittim Kibetzis in this sugya asked the following question. It's a strange
I don't know if this is a valid point or not, but Habor exists in Rishus HaRavim or Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid, you are the Baal Habor, right?
If I dig a hole in my property, right.
You're the real Baal Habor. You're not just the Torah figurative.
And I'm not chayav to pay for a bar.
Yeah, okay. Over here you're talking about a case anyway where we're not dealing with the achrayus, so we're talking about the Baal part.
Right.
I'm just saying, so if you're Baal Habor, then now they're just differentiating between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRavim. So I don't know exactly what I'm saying, but I'm saying that you could be the Baal Habor, the real Baal Habor of Rishus HaYochid.
Right.
And so you have the concept over there. And so now they transfer the word
right. From
Baal Habor over there to Baal Habor over here.
Yeah, but the fact is the Torah grants you the title Baal Habor, even though, you know, based again on the laws of Kinyanim, it's not really yours. Right. So it says the Shidim Gebetzes, it quotes an interesting question over here. Shnei Dibar Meinim Rishusa Shaladim, Asana Chatsu Kilim Rishusa. Right? But the Yishmael says there are only two. So, the Shidim quotes a question over here which would not lie, Pini would not like what you said, because you said it was Lav Dafka. So, the Hiksha Harav, or Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mi Vienna, that's the Or Zeruah. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mi Vienna asked the following question. The Mai Loka Chashiv Shor Hamuad Gamkein. Why did it say only two? There should be a Shor Hamuad as well. The Avagab the Asir Bahana, even though you may not derive any benefit from it, Afalpikein Asu Akashu Ki'ilu Hu Brishusa, the Tzarech Ir. Shidim Gebetzos quotes a question from the Or Zeruah. Shor Hamuad, what's going on over here? So, we've discussed certain aspects of the Shor Hamuad, and then the other things we haven't focused on as much. But we've learned that after the Shor Hamuad gores the third time, a Shor Hamuad that kills a person, what happens? You kill the Shor. So before it's killed, it's what's called the Shor Nisko. The Shor Nisko is also Bahana.
And it kills something else, another animal.
Right. So the Torah makes it as if it's mine. So what's the din of Shor Nisko kill someone else? Or it's killed someone? Am I tied to pay? Am I? What happens
on
a
thing?
No, we're talking about...
The third time, now it's killed before.
Right.
The fourth time,
it gets away and kills the fourth time.
There they get.
Right, so interestingly, he's not chayef.
Right.
Right, it is mashma the question. So the Oruch Haner in source number 4 says, "B'shitzuk betes amash amrin and sham shnei dvarim enim b'shuso shaladam asan akalik ilim b'shuso." Shekasav and the shidduk writes, "Zelo shalom the hiksha Rabbi Ben Yitzchok Miviana damai lo kachashiv shor hamuad gamkein." She also considers shor hamuad as part of the list. "Gavu gav the asav anah apapikein asan akalik ilim b'shuso v'tarachin v'hinei lo biur anah so akasav l'shor hamuad kilim b'shuso." What does he mean by that? That the Torah makes it as if it's yours. Who? What? Why is that so? It's not true. He goes on to say that the din is that a shor nisko that damages, I'm not chayiv to pay. Aval yishlomar. Now again, in light of what we just saw in the Torah Chaim, so he suggests something very interesting. Yishlomar de nafkilon, nafke keni damrin sham. The Gemara previously on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and it's actually cited here on the bottom for you for your convenience. If you want to take a look very quickly on source number 5. The Gemara Mavakama says, Tanya Ami Hochi, Yatsura Kenam Rabbi Huda, Afilu Nogach Vachakach Hiktish, Nogach Vachakach Hifkir Pater. The Gemara says that if a Shor gores, Shor Mur gores, and then I'm accurate, I'm potter. Shenemar, it says, v'hu ha-bebailo, v'heinis ish, ad she-tehenisa v'amada b'din, shavin ke'achot. The Gemara says, it's a gzeres kashuv, that there has to be one owner from the time of Misa all the way through the time of Hamada B'din. Now the Gemara, although the Gemara says this, it's not clear how this drasha works. So the Rosh Hashanah points out very interesting that Rashi over there on that sugya in source number 7 sticks in three words in the Gemara. The Gemara very often quotes fragments of sukkah but not the whole pasuk. So what does Rashi quote? If you look at source number 7, the Diba Masko in Rashi says, V'hud b'bailav, v'heimis ish, hashor is sakel, v'gam, v'alav yumas. That's what the pasuk says. The Torah says, v'gam ba'alav, and also its owner dies. So the Aruch Haner, suggests that's the sound of the Gemara. The lone is bar, if you look back in the Aruch Haner, the sixth line, the first word on the line, the lone is bar, heish yolos mikroz zeh came. How do you will see from this pasuk that you have to have one owner? Of Amir the Rashi beer zeh, shehe v'gam, stay for the pasuk. Rashi quotes the end of the pasuk, hasho yisrael v'gam olav yumas, the mashmash yesh lo bal echad, it sounds like you have one owner at the time of Hadad, until the time of Hamad v'din. Perish be the kari lay, from the fact that the Torah says v'gam olav yumas, gam achad iksiv hasho yisrael, even after it says the shor must be killed, mashmash yizeh, shetzvichin liyoz bailo b'shaz k'maydin. Lefizeh, midichsiv v'gam olav yumas, achar she yisakel hare kara kosov ba'ilov gam achar she nigmar dino v'zen nir lefina is daiti. He says that's exactly what the Yeshita Mikabetzis was getting at. She kavanas ha'rimi v'yena she aso ha'kosov l'shor amud ki'ilu v'shuso midikaro ha'kosov ba'ilov gam achar she nigmar dino l'skila. Very sharp. He says that what was bothering the Yard Zerul was shor amud should also be on the list, because even though it's not yours, it's also b'hanah, the Torah calls it yours. The Torah says, "V'gam ba'olav," and its owner should die. So why is this not in the list? So the reason he suggests was not this is because there is no nafkamina ladina. He says, "V'ula yesh latareit kashyaso." The Rav Elazar shachashiv rakshtei dvarim haina mishum the be'elo regarding these two that he quotes yesh nafkusa l'nidina. The bar aso akosav gilu b'shusa sharach l'shali mehezek. When bar the Torah says now you have to pay, even though it's in Rishus the Rabin and Chametz and Pesach. The Torah says, even though technically it's not yours, you're going to be over this by your Mate. But when it comes to Shor Amud, in Afkusa L'Yindina, the Mashakar is called Bailov, Gam L'Achar G'mardin. There's no Nafkamina. The status doesn't change. So therefore, that's why it's not on the list. There are other suggestions which are offered, which we won't do right now, as to why Shor Amud is not on the list. But Yerach Lener is a very sharp analysis over here as to what exactly the Arzua was getting at in the first place. Again, if we assume that the significance of the Baal Habor is because the Torah says, Baal Habor Yishalem, the Torah calls you the Baal, so we find interestingly that very same expression or similar expression by Shor Amud, which says, V'gam Baal Love You Must. Now getting back to the first question that I asked you before, which may be a little clearer now, so why are we not talking about Aish? So you suggest, well, Aish is really included in the Bor. Bor is the paradigmatic example, which is an interesting approach. No, I like the way you said it. I'm not poking fun at you. I think it was a nice... Right. Okay, good. So along those lines, and just to take it a step further, so in the bottom, again, this is one of the cheap books that I use. If I had the time to gather, the reason I quoted him is because he actually quotes his own Torah, so there's no one else to quote this. So in the bottom, Sefer Olal Torah, I don't mean to make fun of the book, it's a wonderful Sefer, it's just You know, where, you know what I mean by cheap book. I mean, you know, clearly you understand that I don't look through 250 Sfarim in preparation for the Shiri week. So there are, so there are certain books that the Mechaber tend to know more things than I do. So this is a wonderful sefer. Too bad they don't have it in every Masechta and Shas. It's called the Ohel Torah, and it quotes a lot of Maamar Komos from this sugya. So he quotes over here. He asked exactly this question. You know, why? What's so special about Bar? Why did it have an Eish? So he says that if you look at he quotes the Ran. The Ran says the Kai Rachman of Balabar Afafi She'ein Rishus Ram Knuyulo Mavur the Hamakor whom he had the Kai Rachman of Balabar. So that which we just said to Rosh Chaim, the truth, he said the Ran says the same thing. The Ayin the Tosus Chachmi Anglia B'tzachim Sham Sheish Madulo Hiska Gam Eish Shasaz Akas B'Rishus. So the Hamavik the Eish in is alo. If you light someone else's fire, you're also chayiv. The Tirsu, so he quotes the Chachme, Tosos Chachme Anglia, the Rag V'bor, Korakos Balabor, Avaloksir Balesh, V'habir, the Be'esh Achiv Eino Mipnesha Eishalo, Elamachmas Mase Havar. He says, when it comes to Eish, you're not chayiv because it's yours, you're chayiv because you lit. When it comes to the Torah, when it comes to Bor, so you're chayiv because it's yours. I mean, it's not, but the Torah says it's yours. But still, why is that so? Why is it that the reason why you're chayiv for Eish is because you lit it, and the reason you're chayiv for Bar is because it's yours? That still requires some explanation. And also, he mentions as well, when he elaborates on this question, chain the regal as well. If I go ahead, if I take somebody else's animal, and I stick the animal's mouth in my friend's bag, and he eats the food, so then the din is I'm chayiv. Why am I chayiv? So Tosfos said, "Gechayiv shein regel," but it's not mine. It doesn't have to be yours. Shein regel, gechayiv shein regel, because you were mamid the behema. So why is it by bar we say it has to be yours? We need to, the Torah has to call you bala bar, else you wouldn't be chayiv. But by eish and shein regel, we don't care that it's not yours. You caused the problem. You were the mazik, therefore you're chayiv, even if it's not yours. By bar we say no, it has to be yours. Oh, why is it a bigger chiddush? No, not, don't say that. It's a bigger chiddush. Why? Let's not forget. What'd you say?
I think there's an action
that
the guy's taking.
Exactly. The big chiddush of Bar is the Baal Bar is not doing anything. I'm standing by, I went home, and someone else walked into my Bar. So he suggests that it could be that that's the difference. Since by Bar, fundamentally, there's that major, you know, there's a major kuladika aspect of bar, namely, right, ein darko lele chol hazik. It just sits right there, and the nizak comes to it. So therefore, the Torah has to call you the balabor. The Torah has to say you are the owner of that pit, and therefore you're chayiv because it's yours. You didn't do anything; it doesn't matter. It's yours. When it comes to eish, you don't have to say that. You lit a fire, and the fire goes flying off. So even if it's not yours. So you're chayiv because of the damage that you caused, the ma'aseh havara, by shein v'regel as well, because you've done something. That's what he explains in the last line. Just take a look at the second last line. The pashas habirah, the eish, the shein v'regel, osin ma'aseh hezek, ma'aseh enkin bor, eil osin ma'aseh hezek. B'po'el, ala ha'nizkal nech bago, meninat me'eilav, v'mishim ha'chi tzarech shiyehei memona. If we... Now you have to do something. Right. But you did something a while ago. You did something a few hours ago, a week ago. But now, what? I understand. It's hard to say, though. You know. No, because we say ish mishmachitza. The way we understand ish is that you know you light the fire. It's like you shot an arrow. It's almost like an extension of koach adam. Right, assuming it was one of, I don't know, even Bor, we said that if you're talking about healthy animals in a well-lit area, so I'm also not chayiv. So when it comes to fire, obviously there's no case of a failure when it comes to, in theory, if you have it, could you have a, right, I know actually the Gemara does discuss fires in a pit. We will get to those, but it gives them the fire being the pit. I don't know. I don't know if you could have an age that is also born. Maybe you can, I don't know. So, fine. And one last final point, very interesting. Again, like I said, many discussed this question. What does this mean that the Torah makes it like it's yours? It's like it's in your system. Why do you have to say that? Again, so here in the Nachos Moshe, he asks the same question. Why do you have to say it's like it's yours? Just say, Yechai, because you cause this damage, like we say by Eish. So he quotes over here, that he quotes from the Sefer Gedulei Shmuel, that uses this line of Rabbi Shmuel to answer an interesting shaila that's raised in the Maharal Diskin. The Maharal Diskin, in the Shuvah, found in Source 10, asked the following, he has the following suffix, Mesaf Galon, Hachofer Barbish, the Rabbi Mumeis. Let's say a guy digs a hole in the street and he dies. V'achakach Huzkubo, someone else gets hurt in the pit after he dies. So even Lechaiva Yarshim Lishlume, does this guy's Yarshim have to pay? So obviously, if you would have told them, you are going to inherit a lot, a pit in the middle of the street, thanks but no thanks. They're not interested, they don't want it. So the question is, he's saying, do you say that they should be chayiv like they inherited this? So the Gedulei Shmuel says, he thinks that maybe the answer is yes. Now maybe the Chiddush, Rabbi Shmuel, or Rabbi Shmuel's teaching, that the Torah makes it as if you're yours, as if it's yours. In other words, that it's not just that the Baal HaBor is chayiv for his actions, but it becomes as if it's literally his property, which then his Yarshim can inherit. Still a big Chiddush. My thing can, let's say, Eish, the din would be, if I leave a fire and I die, so you cannot say my children are chayiv, because they didn't do it. They had nothing to do with that damage. So it's what he quotes, and it's an interesting idea. Yeah, and the question is, how far do you want to take this concept? But again, certainly, once again, there's a lot more which we can discuss and will not discuss about this question of Shnei Devarim. But again, I think one of the reasons why I was always so fascinated by this line, that there are two things, is Dafka Gesedah too. Because for a striking comment, you would think there were more. So that's really essentially what's going on over here. The Poskim are trying to see why there aren't more and why it's Dafka these two and what's the significance of these two. Okay. Hold on one second. Next Wednesday, I can't give the shiur. I have to talk. Stay tuned. I just realized tonight I have a conflict. Parent teacher conferences. I'm the teacher, so I can't miss that. Can't send my wife. So I will. We'll have an.